There's nothing like being in the stands cheering on your favorite team. GameTime is your hack to unlocking amazing tickets in just a few taps. Plus, their GameTime guarantee means you can trust you'll get 100% authentic tickets at the best price. Fees are always included, so what you see is what you pay. Get the best deals on sports tickets. Download the GameTime app and create an account to start searching for tickets to upcoming games and events. Swipe, tap, ticket, go. GameTime.
It's a great day to be alive in Pittsburgh, PA. We are at Pittsburgh Brewing. I have no idea if you guys can actually hear us or not because it's so damned loud in here. They had a watch party for the Dublin game. You can see I went out of my way to get a seat for Kaboom, but he refuses to take it.
I'm standing up, my friend. I'm standing up.
Good afternoon, friends, Yinzers, countrymen. It is Kabali and Mac. We appreciate you checking in live wherever you may be watching from. Did you make sure to retweet it, Kaboom? Because you know how many people get it from your feed.
No. No, I retweeted from the
company account,
but I can't do it through ours.
Can everybody out there hear us? You got us? We're good. A little bit of an echo. If you're watching on YouTube, but we appreciate you checking in. Say hello, Mark.
Hello, Mark.
Very good. That was a little too close for comfort, I'll be honest. It got a little sketchy and dicey down the stretch there, but the Steelers pull it out in Dublin. I'll be honest, this was the most complete game they've played to this point through the first 4 weeks. Aaron Rodgers looked spectacular most of the afternoon. Morning, I guess. The defense was in Carson Wentz's face all day. He really didn't have time to do anything until late when the Vikings put some stuff together. This was the best effort we've seen to this point from the Steelers on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, but what are we going to be talking about right now? That last final 2 or 3 minutes of how they somehow turned an automatic win into a little bit of a sweat fest there, I would imagine. You talk about turning a absolute blowout into a close game. I think Mike Tomlin and company perfected that today. But you're right, they played well on both lines. Offensive and defensive line played extremely well. They ran the ball, which we didn't think was going to happen since Jaylen Warren was out. So, plus, more important than anything else is they went out there and they were ready to play on the road in Dublin, Ireland, to be able to go into the break with 3-1.
We got people jumping in. We got announcements to make.
My autograph.
Oh, no, it's just people asking Kabali for his autograph.
Mine.
You too, brother.
The big man. The big man's being asked to sign autographs in the middle of the show. What's your name? I'm great, Eric. Thanks for stopping by to ask for
both of your autographs.
Both of us. Okay.
I'm trying to get all the Pittsburgh royalty here.
Eric wants Kabali's autograph. He wants to deface this piece.
It'll be nice if the pen work.
Otherwise, fine. A piece of paper.
I would love it on pencil, too. That's even better. I won't erase it.
You really don't want my autograph, Eric, but I'm going to do it.
This is what you call a live show.
I love it. I love it. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, brother.
There you go, my man. Thank you.
Can I just say one thing?
What?
I won't swear.
I don't care if you swear or not.
Fire his ass.
Oh.
My, after a win.
We're getting the fans.
They won. They won. I know. We could talk about the odd decisions that were made down the stretch because they were odd. Thanks, buddy. We appreciate it. My mic is cutting in and out, so I'm going to just turn it off now. Kaboom.
Yeah. We're working out the kinks here, Mac.
Eric just came up and was complaining. Well, first he asked for autographs, which was odd enough.
You thought he was asking for a read or something from the ICLA,
He had like an announcement because there were people doing things for Penn State Thon here earlier. Have your victory IC lights out, by the way. We've got them here. At least I do.
Yeah, but you're right. I mean, I would say it was probably their most complete game from start to finish. And who would have thought that, for the most part, Mac, they outcoached Brian Flores and Kevin O'Connell for the most part up until that final maybe 3 minutes. And I guess we can get into that later of some of the decisions made to make a blowout two-score game into a nail-biter there. But let's just
I'm not going to harp on that stuff for the most part. It was weird what they did. I'm going to stand up because you're making me look really small if I sit.
I'm not a sitter.
Yeah. You're not a shower, you're a grower. Why are you peering into the camera?
I want to see if anybody can hear us.
Yeah, they can hear. I'm pretty sure if you guys can't hear us, by all means, you know to hit the comments on YouTube and X.
Pony's burner.
We can get into the fourth and one and looking like they were gonna go for it and then deciding to take the false start or the delay of game, pardon me. And then from there, deciding to have the ball just blasted through the end zone for a touchback. That's all stuff that I think we can get to. But first and foremost, like I mentioned, this is the best Rodgers. Rodgers looked really good in week one, right? Had his moments week two and week three that didn't look as great. Rodgers is 9 for his first 9 for like 145 yards. That first scoring drive was basically all him to Metcalf. And then they punch it in with Kenny G, who had 2 touchdowns today. And then Metcalf with the big play after that. I mean, this is exactly, I think, they got Darnell Washington involved. I want to say 3 or 4 catches for him. I'll pull up the exact stat line here in a second. Kenny G did a great job, I thought, stepping in for Jaylen Warren. Ends up with, did he end up with 100 yards or right at 99?
He might have been at 99.
Don't break the booth.
He may have been 99. Metcalf over 100. Defense played well for the most part. I think when they put this team together in the offseason, this is basically what they saw. I mean, minus the final 3 minutes. And like we said, that wasn't the best effort or best decisions, we don't think, of Mike Tomlin and Arthur Smith, whoever makes those decisions at that point. But I think this is how they envisioned this team would be able to win games. Aaron Rodgers, very confident out there, and I think that just goes down the line to everybody else. And they did it with Kenny G.D. Gainwell.
Watch your language.
Who knew Kenny Gainwell would be the star of today's offense? And there it was. Maybe this offense fits better with Kenny Gainwell than Jaylen Warren. I said it.
Wow. Hot take from Kaboom. Real quick, before we go any farther, I want to thank everybody at Southwest Greens. Visit southwestgreenspa.com. Grass that never needs to be mowed, watered, or fertilized. The secret is in their professional installation procedures and their customer service. They take care of you. You're looking to get the best-looking yard, most functional yard in your neighborhood with the least amount of maintenance. You don't want to be the guy next door mowing his lawn every 3 days. Spending $400 on the water bill, spraying fertilizer and bug spray on it, whatever else you got to do, go to Southwest Greens, a beautiful artificial lawn that looks and acts real. Check them out, southwestgreenspa.com, and tell them that Kabali and Max sent you. Jake will take care of you the entire way through the process. Caleb Johnson, 6 carries on 22 yards. He got a couple touches and looked pretty good.
Nothing from Sermon.
Nothing from Trey Sermon. I think he had a kick return or two, maybe.
I think it was fluid. I think the whole running back situation was fluid, depending on if Gainwell was able to be successful. They were going to stick with him and so forth and so on down the line.
Were you surprised that Warren didn't end up playing? Because that was last minute
out. You know, that wasn't like that during the week. So that must have something that popped up over the flight or during practice or the walkthrough the other day. And that's what we worried about him, right? never really had a ton of work. He's had three starts in his career. So, once again, who thought Kenny Gainwell would be able to do this? But
this is where you're going to give the big uglies the offensive lineman credit?
Both sides. I mean, the offensive line, I remember on one play, and I mentioned it, it was a third and short or something. Mm-hmm. They must have pushed that defensive line up. You know, Jonathan Allen, Javon, all those big monsters, 8 yards deep, man. They, whatever they had working today, it was what they wanted to do. And I think it helped that Arthur Smith, do it with me, nipple rubber.
Extra lineman. Didn't we talk about that this week? An extra guy on the line. We'll go through snap counts when that stuff comes out later in the day. But, I mean, how many times did you see an extra offensive lineman out there?
I mean, it had to be 15 to 20. Spencer Anderson had to be. So, I'm just curious to see if that was something that was always in the game plan, or once Warren was ruled out, they had to alter it. That would be interesting to know.
I'll be honest. That was what I wanted to see before we knew anything about Warren being dinged up or possibly not being able to play. You have an offensive line that struggled. You want to help them find some consistency, find some success, put an extra guy in there, the old nipple rubber, and start to get something. And they did. They got something going on the ground. Not only did they get it going on the ground, but they used the middle of the field off of that, it felt like. Backers from Minnesota were drawn up in because Gainwell was running the ball well. And then all of a sudden, you see quick hitters to Metcalf. You see, like I said, Darnell Washington get involved. And Kenny Gainwell caught a couple balls in the middle of the field. They were able to use the middle of the field, which we've been screaming about with this offense for the better part of the last half decade.
Yeah, but make no mistake about it, is the reason why was because they were able to run the ball between the tackles a lot. Was able to open that up a little bit as well, and probably opened it up a lot. So I think if you're looking at the MVP of this game, it is definitely the offensive line. And I think that it all was predicated off of their success of being able to open up some of the middle of this defense. So I'm going to give those guys all the credit. I mean, defensive line as well. I mean, the whole defense in general, except for, here we go again, communication issues.
Well, you could see it on the one late touchdown the Vikings scored. Both Patrick Queen and Peyton Wilson were chasing someone to the outside, and Wilson threw his hands up afterwards as if to say he didn't know what they were supposed to be doing.
9 points with the Addison and the two-point conversion. That's 9 points you gave him on miscommunication. Because the Addison 80-yarder or whatever it was a miscommunication. It was somebody wasn't in the right spot, and the two-point conversion was too. It's getting to that point where enough of the excuses, figure it out.
Yeah, I mean, for the most part, though, the defense, and I see a lot of people in the comments talking about the defense playing great. They did what they would be asked to do most weeks. You're right. Late, it got sketchy. They let guys run free, miscommunication. But the pass rush was in Wentz's face all day.
Yep.
Nick Herbig had a great game. I saw Jack Sawyer making plays a couple times, and T.J. Watt.
Well, it was a Keanu Benton sighting, too. How about that?
That was – I turned to you at one point and said, this is the best game of his life. This is the best game Keanu Benton's had as a pro. He had a couple plays in the backfield, including a sack late in the game. The entire front seven showed up, and you had good plays in the secondary, too. Thornhill played a great game today. We didn't see as much of Jabril Peppers as I thought we would. Didn't really matter because Thornhill had a great game. Ramsey was out for just a bit, but I saw him get back on the field, I thought, late after the hammy tweak. Front to back, the entire defense played strong. Yes, if we're nitpicking, you could talk about the miscommunications that caused those big plays late. But when you get, as Mike Tomlin would call it, good complementary football – The offense played well early. They staked themselves to a lead, gave the defense the opportunity to pin their ears back and go after the quarterback. This is what you're going to get.
Yeah. This update, Mike Tomlin said that Calvin Austin's currently at the hospital because of his shoulder. So that's interesting.
Oh.
To why he would have to go to the hospital for something like that, unless it's one of those sternoclavicular things that Ben had, you know. You know, I'm not a doctor or anything, but they said I was almost dead. Remember when Ben said that?
No, it was his rib almost punctured his aorta, remember?
Yeah, so,
I think that's what it was.
So that's big. I mean, but that was just some news that came out of what Tomlin had to say right here at the game.
You're just going to, you know, it's on mute. You're not going to be able to hear what he's saying.
I can read lips, though.
Okay, good for you. Thanks to everybody at Higgins Professional Painting for supporting the show as well. Interior, exterior painting, whatever you need done. Give your house a fresh look, fresh coat of paint. They do a great job. Family-owned business for the last 40 years. Higgins Professional Painting. They can do not just residential either. Commercial, industrial. They do it all. Drywall repairs. HigginsProfessional.com or just give them a call at 412-344-0480. They're going to be doing work soon at Kaboom's house. I imagine after that, I'll trick them into coming over to our house and get some work done as well. But we appreciate their support of the show. Again, we're live from Pittsburgh Brewing. That's why we're standing next to each other like this.
Yeah, we'd be remiss to not talk about the crowd that was here today.
It was insane.
Yes.
I'll post a video later. I got it during the final drive of the game. It was like being at the game. The people were that loud in here.
Yes. Plus, you have Iron City beer that's being brewed. Hey.
Fresh
right,
stuff.
Right there. Right there. So, I never knew they had a facility out here that hosted parties like this. And if I was not a going to games all the time, I would probably come to this place.
You weren't busy working?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
What a place.
Yeah. More questions. What's up? We are not in charge of that, no. Probably more football. That's just a wild guess. I don't know.
Who do you have on your fantasy team? Nobody wants to watch the Bills. You'd have to ask probably somebody up there.
Yeah, they would be able to tell you what's coming on next. Yeah. Again, we're live from Pittsburgh Brewing for today's post-game edition of the show.
You put a camera in front of you, everybody thinks you have the answers.
Random people are coming up and asking us questions during the show. Somebody just mentioned in the comments, Dwayne did actually, a Mount Washington sighting early on. And I don't mean the actual Mount Washington where you did a pregame show earlier today. I mean, Darnell Washington. He ended up with, let me make sure I have the numbers right. He ended up with 3 catches for 20 yards. That's 3 catches on 3 targets. We talked also this previous week about getting him more involved. That worked out. Gainwell, 6 catches, led the team. Metcalf, 126 yards. Obviously, the 80-yarder for the touchdown led the team in receiving yards. But Rodgers was 9 of his first 9. I want to make sure, again, that I get the number right. I want to say it was like 143 yards on his first 9 passes before he finally had an incompletion. This was the perfect Aaron Rodgers game. Like, I saw there were a couple balls late that were off target towards Ben Skoranek, who I think came in once Austin left the game. But for the most part, Rodgers looked fantastic.
And it's the little things that he does that's probably not visible to the untrained eye. I'm not saying I have a trained eye here, but just letting that play clock get down to nothing so they are able to, you know, their teams are not able to disguise as much as they want to. I think that plays a huge part. I think it plays a huge part in his attitude. I mean, every time you looked at him, he's smiling, having a good time, laughing at DK Metcalf losing his marbles over something. If you know anything about DK Metcalf, he doesn't really talk above a quiet whisper very much, and every other word, sir. So for him to get mad, and Aaron Rodgers probably laughing at it because of that, I think he's just a perfect fit for what this team. So maybe the numbers aren't huge, 200 yards and a touchdown, but I think he's invaluable to this team through the first, what, quarter? Quarter now. A quarter.
Basically
a quarter.
The first quarter of the season, yeah. A little less than a quarter. I don't know, what's 4 divided by 17? I can't do math that well. A little less than 25%. A little less than a quarter of the season. You mentioned when DK lost it, Freiermuth had gotten pushed in the face or something. That was actually a big chunk of yardage that got them down into the red zone. The red zone offense continues to be really good. One of the few failures they had today was when it was fourth and goal, I should say, from the one. They had an opportunity to punch it in and basically put the game away. You turned to me at that point and said, I wouldn't run it here.
I mean, if you're going to go for it, might as well try to score the touchdown. You're at the point where 40 yards, even if it, I understand why they did it. You're talking about when they were got stopped at the one late in the game.
I was talking about the goal line fourth and one, but when they ended up.
Oh, late in the game, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, where I'm sure field position had a lot to do with it. If we missed it, they got to go 90 some yards, or in this case, they had to go 60. But with these kickers so good, man, you get one breakdown in coverage, and all of a sudden you're in field goal range to be able to tie it. Rodgers wanted to go for it. I'm curious to see if he was just faking it, and this was the plan all along. It's not like it was fourth and goal with the one. It was fourth and four.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Fourth and four, and they decided to go for it, and Gainwell got down to the one.
There was a bunch of questionable decisions near the end of that game that made it a closer game than it should have been.
But you wouldn't have run it on fourth and one had you gone.
Go for it. Throw for it. Score.
Yeah.
Now, I think when Greg Olsen was complaining about middle of the game there that they should have went for it on that fourth and one near the middle of the field and waiting up to – I mean, I can understand that one of why they didn't want to go for that one. But the one on the 1 inch on the 4 yard line, you got to go for that. But
why run it on fourth and goal from the four?
Why run it on fourth and goal? I guess
that's the one thing they still haven't continued to. I mentioned they got Washington more involved today, but you're down in that short, tight red zone. I don't understand not just having Washington in the corner of the end zone. High point a ball to him. He's 6 inches taller than everybody else. He outweighs everybody by 75 pounds. Let him just go up and shack the ball like Arthur Smith talked about the other day.
Honestly, they probably – the defensive coordinator, Brian Flores, probably thinks the same way. So they're probably just thinking, okay, let's fool him a little bit. I think it had a lot to do with just the opposition. You miss it, they got to go a bunch of yards. And if we score, we score. But why – why don't you do that with a pass? I would have liked to play action, roll to the right, whatever. It didn't work. But there was a couple other ones, too, that were kind of questionable near the end, I do believe. I can't remember off the top of my head other than saying, this game shouldn't be this close right now, but they're making it a close one.
Thanks to our friends at Impact HVAC for supporting the show. We appreciate them as well. It's going to be fall soon. It's a beautiful weekend out right now. You can see the sun pouring in the windows here at Pittsburgh Brewing. But soon, it's going to be dark. It's going to be cold. You want to make sure your furnace works. Impact HVAC PGH on Facebook. You can shoot them a message there. Or you can just give them a call as well. The phone number is going to scroll across the bottom of the screen again here in a couple seconds. But Impact HVAC will come out. They'll do a furnace checkup for you. Make sure everything's running perfectly fine before it's time to actually flip that baby on and keep things warm in the dead of winter. And like I said, you can always message them on Facebook, Impact HVAC PGH. I've had them in my home, did a great job replacing the furnace. Awesome job, great customer service, Impact HVAC PGH on Facebook. Or like I said, 412-297-1852. There's the number on the bottom of the screen. Patrick Queen, I thought, had a monster game, too. I'm going to look up the numbers. But
I think he had 10 or 11 tackles. I think Peyton Wilson, I think, led everybody with
Peyton Wilson, 13 tackles. Patrick Queen, 11. Three of Queen's, though, were for a loss, and including a sack. That was the thing. He was living in the backfield, which we haven't seen a lot of from him to this point, whether this season or really since he became a Steeler. They've tried to use him as the sideline to sideline guy, and he's been okay in that regard, but he looked much more comfortable and much more effective shooting gaps, coming in on blitzes, creating pressure in the backfield.
Coverage as well. He was very good in coverage as well. And you look, it looks like, okay, Cole Holcomb probably didn't play as much. It almost seems like they got a split down the middle now. Is if Cole Holcomb is the thumper, you need the guy that stops the run. And the Vikings really didn't run the ball very well with Jordan Mason, which led to more Peyton Wilson. That might switch in 2 weeks when they play the Browns. Maybe that switches from left to right. But, yeah, Patrick Queen made his $16 million a year look like that was meaningful there today. He was all over the place. But what I find interesting still now is the secondary where Mike Tomlin lauded in the offseason still just haven't found it. They just haven't found that niche. They haven't found what they're looking for. Maybe it has to do with James Pierre play late in that game. Maybe it has to do with, you know, Porter out again, Slay getting banged up. You know, one thing or another. But right now you look and that secondary is just not living up to what they were billed as.
Well, I'd like to know too what kind of coverages were being called late. You mentioned the miscommunications already, but late in the game when they're up by multiple scores, they're probably more inclined to play off coverage and play softer. And it felt like that's when a lot of yards got piled up. You mentioned the big Addison catch and run.
That's unacceptable there.
Jefferson had a couple big catches late as well. But Jefferson went, I think, most of the third quarter, if not the entire third quarter, without a catch. There were multiple times. They were shutting down those third and longs that they had so much trouble with last week and the week before. They were shutting those down through the first 3.5 quarters of today's game. So I get what you're saying about the secondary giving up the big plays late. They end up giving up like 350 passing yards, I think it ended up being, for Carson Wentz. So the numbers don't look good. I'm not going to make excuses, but because you, like you said, the Addison play, that's inexcusable. But for the most part, I thought through the first 3.5 quarters, they really limited what the Vikings were able to do through the air. A lot of that had to do with the pass rush, sure, but and maybe Carson Wentz being Carson Wentz. But I didn't think the secondary played poorly through the first three quarters of this game.
You would like to see this game end at 24-14, right? You
sure.
Probably go into the offseason, the bye week, feeling a little bit better about yourself than you do right now. Well, maybe not the team, because a win is a win is a win. But maybe the fans are out there like nitpicking around saying this is an issue, this is an issue, this is an issue, which, you know, there are definitely still going to be issues here. My thought is if they ever be able to get this thing together like they wanted to get it, you know, the offensive, defensive line matching with the linebackers, matching with the secondary, this is going to be a pretty doggone hard team to beat. And you would imagine that's possible if everybody gets healthy and everybody starts being on the same page here. So 3-1 and having this many problems is a good sign.
Yeah, I mean, I think you saw it for the first three quarters of the game on both sides of the ball. They were dominant at times. On defense, it ended up with 6 sacks, I think it was. Wentz had no time to operate. When he did, he was off target. He was making bad decisions. That's what this defense, this front seven in particular, and this pass rush is capable of. I think, again, I'm not trying to make excuses. I think a lot of what you got late from the Vikings was soft defense against the team that you're up 2 scores on. Again, it's not to make excuses.
You can't let that happen, though. The ease of it, though. I mean, you can't allow an 80-yard reception when you're trying to hold on to a 10-point lead. That's one thing you don't want and you can't, though. You can't. That's unacceptable.
So this comes back to coaching and coaching decisions, whether it's Tomlin or Austin. And I don't want to turn into a bitch fest. They just won. Like you said, they're 3-1. But they did so much through the first three quarters of this game, getting creative with pressure, bringing Ramsey, bringing, like I mentioned, Queen, bringing other defensive backs, and then all of a sudden they get up 2 scores. It's late in the ball game. They turn it over on the goal line on downs, and they got very soft and very vanilla. And after everything that had worked through the first three quarters, I would have preferred to say, hey, we're going to remain a little exotic and a little different and unique in how we bring our pressure and see if we can't force that one final mistake that puts the nail in the coffin. Instead, they sat back.
But at that point, you're just trying to win the game, right?
Right, but you're winning the game the way you are because you've put pressure on Wentz all day. I didn't like the fact that they did get away from that late, even though I've mentioned that's what they did. It doesn't mean I like it. They didn't have to. They could have remained different and exotic and unique in how they generated pressure. And like I said, maybe you force Wentz into the kind of mistake that puts the ball in your hands in the red zone again, or even a defensive touchdown like the one they got robbed of early.
I mean, what was the big narrative coming into this game? Steelers going to get outcoached, right?
Yeah.
To me, Arthur Smith outcoached Brian Flores and Terrell Austin outcoached Kevin O'Connell. To me, you got two at the best of what they're doing right there in their business right now, and that was going to be the difference. I think they came out with good game plans, both offensively and defensively. What sucks is everybody is, and we know how the city works, because we've already heard people say it.
Yep.
They're going to harp on that final 2.5 minutes.
Well, because it didn't have to be.
Yes.
It kind of all comes together. You know, we had the guy, Eric, I think was his name, walk over right at the beginning of the show and say, he's got to be fired.
He said the F word too.
But. Yeah, well, whatever. We're online. He can say it. But it all comes together in you've been aggressive all day, continue to be aggressive. And all too often, I've mentioned this before, Tomlin will get conservative in spots where it doesn't serve you well if you don't execute. And that's what happened late in the game on defense. You could be aggressive and give up an 80-yard catch and run to Jordan Addison. At least at that point, you're saying, okay, well, at least he beat our blitz. Instead, Jordan Addison beats you because everybody's sitting back in coverage and there's a miscommunication in the secondary. If you're going to be aggressive and try to win games being aggressive on defense and being quick and getting the ball out on offense, continue to be aggressive in both of those ways, and maybe you finish the game a little bit sooner and a little bit more comfortable.
Until the one time you're aggressive and you lose because of your aggressiveness, right? You're like, why aren't you holding back here? Why aren't you dropping into you here? Why aren't you playing deep coverage? Why aren't you playing prevent defense? What are you doing here? So I think it works both ways here of who the blame is. I mean, I think regardless of what happens, you're going to have somebody to blame here one way or the other, depending on what happens here. So bottom line is 3-1.
What is that? 3-1.
3-1. First place in the AFC North.
3-1.
You got Cleveland and Cincinnati coming up next after a bye week. You probably couldn't find yourself in a better situation than this one.
Yeah, it could be a whole lot worse. And I think the thing about today was, too, the way they came out surprised a lot of us. Thanks to the guys at the Third Do First In podcast for supporting the show. We support them. Firefighter First Responder podcast. Keith and Gino have great guests every week and great stories themselves. Go check them out on social media and on YouTube at Third Do First In. We appreciate them supporting the show. It was the fact that, like you said, the whole narrative all week was they're going to get out coached by O'Connell and Flores. What's on your hand? What'd you do?
Itching like hell. Does that mean I'm giving money or getting money?
That's supposed to mean that you're getting money if your hand's
left
itchy.
Hand? Oh, I thought it was left or right made a difference.
I have no idea. I don't know. Wait, that sounds like some old hunky wives' tale.
Exactly. I was my 99-year-old grandmother.
What'd you call her? Did you call her grandma?
Bubby.
Bubby?
Bub.
Just Bub or Bubby?
Bubby. It'll depend on the year.
Was it weird when you were a kid and Brister was the quarterback? And you called your grandma Bubby, but Bubby was the quarterback?
Yeah, I think they spelled it differently at the time, so I was able to probably...
How'd your grandma spell it? Like, when you filled out a card for your grandmother's birthday or on Christmas,
all depended on the year. She started out... Mind you, she would have been 105 right now.
Okay.
So she'd been gone like 5 years, something like that. She initially spelled it... Get ready for this. B B-A-B-E.
That's not Bubby. That's Babe.
According to her, it was. Then later on, it turned into B-U-B-E. Then it
Which
turned
would be
into,
boob.
Then it turned into B-U-B-B-Y. So it all depended on the year.
Why'd she change it every couple of years?
Well, you must have never met her before.
I didn't. I wasn't lucky enough.
Well, put it this way. When I was the commissioner at the CWF, wrestling in Manesson.
Yeah.
I got hit with a chair, and she went after one of the wrestlers. So I
did she
you
get all, him?
She tried to pull his hair.
What did he do?
They just ran away. She knew she was probably like 95 at the time. So Bubby, I don't know what are we talking about. Bubby, how did Bubby Brister come up?
Because you said your grandma was called Bubby.
No, it was something before that.
Yeah, no, I asked if it was weird that you called your grandmother Bubby in the 80s when Brister was the quarterback.
But how
your grandmother came. I don't know how your grandmother, because your hand was itchy. That's why.
Yeah.
And I said it sounds like an old hunky wives tale.
I guarantee somebody on the comments knows if left hand itchy means you're giving or taking money. I'm guessing giving.
Oh.
I would much rather have my right hand be itchy. Getting money.
Is that why you're okay? I'm gonna leave all the thing about your left hand and right hand go. Thanks to Arch. I know he had a big thing down there on the south side today.
You can still make it. There.
Archie's on Carson, Pittsburgh's best place for food, drinks, and sports. 80-cent wings Monday through Thursdays, and a full menu that's awesome. Sandwiches, burgers, flatbread, pizzas, too. They're open all day, every weekend for all the games, whether you want to watch the Stillers or maybe you're a loser Penn State fan like myself.
Or and you Penn want to State or West Virginia.
Loser Penn State fan like myself, and you want to watch your team blow another opportunity to beat a team in the top 10. We won't talk about that today, though. We're here at Pittsburgh Brewing, wrapping up the Steelers' 24-21 win over the Vikings. Kaboom is going to do that thing where he tries to see the comments.
I can't see. You need,
he's going to pull his glasses down.
No, you need to brighten your contrast a little bit there, buddy.
Okay, I'll brighten the screen up for you, just for you. How's that sound?
Yeah, now I can see a little.
Is that better? Can you read it now? If you're going to sit there and peer in on
see.
It, at least read it out loud.
I can't look it on my phone because you won't let me be part of the...
No, we're both on the same screen because we're standing together.
I understand this, but I can't see the comments on my phone.
You can still... Go ahead. Log in.
I log in.
We're going to give Kaboom a technological tutorial right here on the show. Go ahead. Go to the StreamYard feed. I swear, I've only had a... 1.5 IC lights. I shouldn't be talking the way I am. Okay, go ahead. Sign in. Do your thing.
Why do you have to sign in to Google, by the way?
So that other people can't sign in under your name and do things. Thanks to the Dan Heck team as well for supporting the show. You're looking to buy or sell a home in the Pittsburgh area. They are the people to take care of it for you. The entire team standing by. Waiting for you, whether you're looking to upgrade into a bigger home, downsize, anything in between, you're looking to buy or sell a home in the Pittsburgh area, Heck Team Homes, H-A-E-C-K, heckteamhomes.com is the way to get it done. Have you logged in yet? What are you doing?
I'm trying to find it. It's giving me codes. I don't know.
Just do what you usually do.
I don't have it saved. I have it on my laptop.
Or you could just read the comments from here.
Whatever.
That are on the screen.
I can't see that. We already come to that conclusion.
All right.
Now you're confused.
No, I'm not confused. I'm just trying to think about what I wanted to talk about next. We talked about the pass rush doing a fantastic job today. Had our issues with miscommunication in the secondary, though, late in the game. Offensive line looked better. Rodgers. What did Rodgers end up getting sacked twice, I think it was? Just two sacks of Rodgers. They end up running for
the first play of the game, I think.
131, 4.5 yards a clip. Kenny Gainwell, 99 of those on 19 carries. So they ran the ball well. Metcalf has a huge day. They get Darnell Washington involved. Another day without a catch for Freiermuth, but he almost got in a fight that drew a 15-yard penalty, so we'll take that.
Still not a lot of tight ends. And not only did we see the nipple rubber.
Right.
We also saw some Connor Hayward at fullback, so that should help.
Was that Connor Hayward on the tush push?
That might have been Darnell.
Okay.
But Connor Hayward probably played 3 or 4 snaps at fullback position. So, for some reason, you wouldn't have thought that they would go heavy against that defensive line, but they went heavy and with a small guy. And I'm just wondering now, maybe Gainwell is the guy. I don't know. I brought this up already.
Can he? So here's the thing. The Jaylen Warren injury, we don't think is serious, right?
We just don't know because it just happened last moment.
Okay, so there's a couple different lanes we can travel then with the backfield. If Warren is healthy again, and you would think with a bye week, he should have time to get up to speed. If Warren is healthy, do you think there's any chance that he could lose the starting job to Gainwell?
No.
But he could lose a lot of carries to Gainwell.
I wouldn't say a lot. Maybe two.
Does it become more 66-33?
I think your Jaylen Warren will still get two-thirds of him.
Okay. If Warren is out for more than a week or two, let's say he misses the Cleveland and Cincinnati games that you just referenced, and Gainwell continues to play well, puts up 90, 100 yards on the ground, does that create the impending opportunity for Gainwell to remain the incumbent, I guess for lack of a better way to put it, the 1A to Warren's 1B? Let's say he rips off 85, 90 yards on the ground each of the next two games and they beat Cleveland and Cincinnati, and Warren finally comes back. Is there a chance that Warren comes back as a 1B to Gainwell's 1A? I don't think anybody's prepared themselves mentally for the idea that Gainwell could be the lead back.
Yeah, I don't think that's a possibility. I mean, you paid the guy, whatever, $16 million. Is that what he got? Something like that. You're going to give him more than that limited opportunity if he's 100% healthy. So, no, I don't think that's the case at all. What I think happened is they manipulated their scheme to fit Gainwell, and that was with the extra tackle and some fullback and two tight ends. And I don't know how much they really want to do that, you know, consistently. So, I still think it's Warren's job. Now, the question now is, if Calvin Austin's out,
I was just going to bring that up.
What are you going to do?
The one thing I harked about.
Roman Wilson didn't play. I mean, when Austin went out,
it was
Skoranek and Miller.
The one thing I harped about all summer was, if Metcalf gets hurt, who's the number two wide receiver? And we never really considered the possibility that Austin would solidify himself in that role, or at least I didn't. And then maybe he could get hurt, and who would become then the number two wide receiver? To your point, it was basically Skoranek.
Yeah, Miller was in there a couple of times. I didn't see Roman Wilson unless I missed it.
So what the hell is going on there?
I don't know. I mean, people I talked to before the season were absolutely convinced that this guy was going to not only be a star player, but a stud and a star player all at once. And it just hasn't materialized. And it starts to make you wonder. It's not the talent. Then what is it? Got to get on that moving train, I guess. I don't know. I mean, at this time, he should have everything down pat.
Yes.
So, obviously.
He's been in the system for over a year now.
Obviously, they see something that they don't like. Because we can pretty much assume that Roman Wilson's more talented than Skoranek and Scotty.
Yeah, he should be.
Yes, he is.
So, is this just a thing where Rodgers is more comfortable? We know he has a good relationship with Skoranek.
It could be. I mean, you're never going to hear Rodgers say that. But the only thing I do recall Roger saying about Roman Wilson was back in camp when he said, you know, he needs to get out of his head a little bit. That mm-hmm. was as close as he got to, you know, criticizing him at all. I mean, we don't know what's wrong with Austin other than if it is a broken collarbone, it could be anything. Who knows? He's still going to be out a significant portion of the time, you would imagine. So somebody's going to have to step up. And I would probably go, put it this way, if they have to prepare for a game, I would like that my chance of having Roman Wilson being that guy rather than the other team.
Well, yeah, I mean, I know it was the preseason, and the preseason's the preseason. It doesn't really matter. But that game he had against Tampa, I thought showed what he's capable of in just a little snapshot, granted against another team's backups for the most part. But he can stretch the field. He can, I would think, be a possession receiver as well. He should be able to do everything by now. So the Wilson thing is something to monitor. and see if maybe that, again, depending on how serious the Austin injury is, if he's able to become that guy. You would also think that it should mean a whole lot more tight ends if Austin is out for the foreseeable future and they're not necessarily comfortable with Wilson.
I think if they had a week to prepare, that they would be more comfortable with Wilson.
And it's been a year and a half, and they're still not comfortable with him.
About leading up to this week. If all of a sudden Friday, they're like, hey, Roman, we want you in there, rather than the veterans, Miller and Skoronek, I'd probably go the same route too.
One thing we didn't talk about yet, Deshaun Elliott had a hell of a game, I thought, too.
Thornhill, too.
Yeah.
Thornhill stepped up to the plate when he had a chance of, you know, when it looked like he was going to be pushed to the side. So
Elliott, six tackles, a sack, two passes defense, two quarterback hits. He was all over the field. And I think that's not to take anything away, because we've both mentioned that we like the game Thornhill had, too. Had a big breakup late in the game. But the thing about Elliott is he can do it from all over the field. I talked about some of the exotic looks and different pressures they brought. One of them was Deshaun Elliott coming flying in off the edge. You know, he ended up getting somersaulted by whoever picked up the blitz, but he can do that. He can make a play in the secondary. He's literally all over the field doing the kind of things that, I'll be honest, I think a lot of us hoped that Minka would have done when Minka was playing safety here. Minka ended up being more of a true center fielder. Elliott, all over the place. And that, they missed that. They missed somebody, as well as Thornhill played today and may have played the last couple of weeks, as good as Chuck Clark can be at times. Elliott's a completely different animal from those two.
Yeah. I mean, definitely. And I think what they have on the secondary is they got a ton of depth. I think the next step is paring that depth down to four or five guys that you can count on as your best guys. And I don't know if they've – I mean, I'm sure injuries had a lot to do with it and not being able to do that. But that's a guy I'd like to see. You know, if it's Slay, Porter, Ramsey, Elliott, whoever is that fifth guy, Echols, I'd like to see those guys take that most of the snaps there just so they can get on the same page. It just doesn't seem like right now is there's a lot of vanilla-type off defenses that they're getting called, and the vanilla defenses have now make it, in a strange way, more difficult than the more complicated defenses that they used to have. And it's strange to say that, but that's basically what it is.
This defense is just better when it gets a little more creative in how it generates pressure, I think. Maybe it had something to do with Minnesota's offense and they weren't prepared for that because the Steelers hadn't really shown that at all yet in the first 3 weeks. But they looked much better when they generated pressure, bringing different blitzers. I mentioned Queen. I mentioned Elliott. Ramsey, I saw in the backfield a couple times.
Herbig.
Herbig had a massive game.
Well, he should. Because, I mean, you saw a couple of times he was – Watt was – especially in those high critical plays late in the game, Watt was getting triple teamed. Chip, tackle, and another tight end on him. So, if that's going to happen, Herbig, Highsmith, whoever's on the other side is going to have to make plays. You know, it was quiet today. Cam Hayward.
He was. Kinda I'm not quiet. Sure what the stat line ended up being. He didn't.
Well,
end up.
You have to be aware of teams taking away your best players, and in theory, they took away their best two players. I know Watt had the pick, important pick.
Cam Hayward didn't have a single tackle. Yes. Had one hit on the quarterback. That was it. But you know what? On a day like today, I think Cam Hayward may have been more effective in eating up blockers. Like, the Vikings may have just decided to focus on him, use two guys on him sometimes, and it opened up other opportunities. You saw Derek Harmon almost get a sack. He ended up getting flagged for roughing the quarterback because he hit Wentz in the head. But, you know, Derek Harmon was in there close to making a play. That's the one thing I'll say, too. This defense is chock full of veterans, right? big names that we recognize. Watt, Hayward, Ramsey, Slay. Your phone is playing all kinds of videos.
I see that.
You know how long that's been happening? I've been hearing it and you didn't even notice it, and really? It was in your pocket. We have all these big names on the defensive side of the ball.
What's
nice to see is that the young guys are making plays. Herbig coming in, making noise. I mentioned Sawyer was close to making a couple of plays. Harmon was close to making a play after getting his first sack last week. Benton showing up, finally.
Wilson. Peyton.
Yeah, he makes a touchdown-saving tackle. They end up scoring the touchdown anyway, but a touchdown-saving tackle on that play to Addison. So that feels good. The offense felt better, still felt good.
I think it's by far their best performance of the year, offensive line, right?
Yeah. Yeah, better even than the Jets game.
And 77 looked like an actual player out there. How about that one?
Yeah, you get over, again, what they end up with on the ground, 130 yards or something, 131. You got to be happy with the run game. So the closest thing we've had yet to a complete and total team effort for the Steelers in Dublin in a 24-21 victory over the Vikings, as Kaboom said, they're 3-1. Yeah. Be happy. We can bitch and moan all we want about the decisions late in the game and how it maybe made it a little bit closer and a little bit more uncomfortable than we wanted it to be. But you know what? It is 1:45 on a Sunday, a beautiful Sunday afternoon. Go get yourself an ice cold iron. Sit back and watch football the rest of the day and relax and be happy. They're 3-1.
3-1. 3-1 with a bye week and two winnable games ahead of them. So, really not a ton to complain about right now, other than the stuff that you know is going to be brought up. The people that don't like Tomlin, the people that don't like Austin, the people that don't like Arthur Smith. Why this, why that. But, hey, they are 3-1.
The injuries will be worth keeping an eye on through the bye week. Calvin Austin, Highsmith still out, Porter still out, those kind of things.
I would imagine Porter's close. Warren. I imagine Porter's close because he was close to playing this week. Another 10 days off, or at this point, 14 days off. I think he'll probably be ready to go against Cleveland. Cleveland, right? Cleveland's next?
Yeah.
I think he'll be ready to go here as well.
So they get the Browns at home after the bye week. Then it's on the road to play the Bengals on a short week on a Thursday night. And then home to host the Packers on a Sunday night. And then they host the Colts the week after that on a Sunday afternoon.
You know what's great about a short week? It's followed by a long week.
True. But if they were to win three of these next four, they would be 6-2 heading into the Chargers game. And that's really where the schedule starts to stiffen up a little bit in the back half.
As of now.
But if they're 6-2 heading into the Chargers game, I'm feeling pretty good.
You have to feel good about this one.
No,
man.
I feel good now. I'm saying to keep the good vibes going, Kaboom.
You're what, 24? It was 24-21. You basically were at half an inch away from being 31-21. And another blown assignment from being 31 to whatever, 14.
13, yeah.
So, I mean, it was that close of being an absolute blowout, which you don't see many teams doing. So, I mean, even the Pierre interception was one that they overcame.
I mean, the Ramsey fumble return early on.
That's the one I was talking about.
I know you didn't see it because you were en route.
I heard it.
You heard it. But that was real close to them blowing the game. That would have been another piece that if that happens, they blow the game open early. It did feel, even though they didn't get that fumble return touchdown, like they controlled the game for most of the first 3.5 quarters. So despite it getting uncomfortably close late, I'm not going to walk away from this with too many problems. I'll feel good about it. Enjoy the bye week. Kaboom's going to go take a nap because you got to do TV stuff tonight or whatever.
Yeah,
Mr.
I've been
Popular.
Up since 4 a.m.
Go get some sleep. Yins, enjoy the rest of your weekend. We'll do this again, I don't know, maybe Tuesday morning at the Tomlin presser. Is he still doing a presser on Tuesday? No presser on Tuesday.
No, I'm guessing they're practicing Tuesday and Wednesday, then have the rest of the week. I think they're off Monday. practice Tuesday, Wednesday, and off Thursday, Friday. They have to have four. It's NFL, NFLPA rules. They have to have four consecutive days off in their bye week. So Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Well, either way, we'll be back during the bye week. We'll still get you a couple more episodes to talk about what's going on. Maybe we'll get some big guests. Who knows? There were big timers here today with us.
Ooh, oh, Matt Light.
Yeah, Matt Light was here. Chris Higby, formerly of the Poverty Neck Hillbillies.
Mark Madden.
Mark Madden was here. There was
Wait. Madden was at a Steelers watch party?
Yeah, in his Penguins t-shirt, though.
Yeah, I did notice that.
Yeah,
you're right.
Yeah. And wouldn't stop talking about Marc-Andre Fleury last night.
That's your buddy there, buddy.
What's wrong with Fleury?
Is he still there? Would he be their best goalie right now?
Maybe. I'll say a solid maybe. Solid maybe. All right, we're going to wrap it up from Pittsburgh Brewing. Thanks for joining us. Kabali is going to peer at more of the messages in the chat. We appreciate it. And support everybody that supports the show. And we'll talk to Yins again soon. Thank you so much. It's Kabali and Mac. We'll see Yins later. Kaboom's phone is once again playing audio. Yes, it is. Can you take care of that, please? All right, we'll see Yins soon.